God, these baggies are so trendoid.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is season 1, episode 14, East Side Story. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
How much coffee have you had today?
I've had a lot!
Oh my God.
I'm also on my like 45th ounce of Coke Zero.
Coke Zero.
<Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-do>.
Hi, Sarah.
For sure, a Sarah D. Buttwurst was a
buttwurst
imminent.
Yeah, the phrase "but it's worse" has become buttwurst, the worst sausage-based meal you could have.
Yeah,
buttwurst. Don't eat it.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
All right, that's enough for non
902.
Yeah, shut up, Dave.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Tara.
Are you ready to talk about East Side Story? Because
I'm not sure.
It's a little, I was going to say racy, but it literally does get racy, so we might as well just get into it.
Yes.
Starting with the B story, which I hesitate to even call a story because it really doesn't go anywhere, but it does come up more than once, so I guess it qualifies? Yeah.
No, not
okay.
Really, but let's just get it over with.
All
basically,
right.
David Silver continues to be the, quote, comic, quote, relief on the show, and there are these little interstitials of him trying to call MC Hammer's office, which, hilariously, the woman answers the phone, "Hello, MC Hammer's office." Like, just don't really feel like that's how that would go down. But anyway, he continues to get hung up on because he's David Silver.
Yep.
But at the end, someone picks up of significance at the time.
Yep.
One Debbie, now Deborah Gibson. And I believe we have a clip of that. It's clip number 2.
Correct.
So having said all that, can I please talk to MC Hammer?
MC Hammer? Sorry, I think you have the wrong number. Bye.
David looks at his desk and there's a Debbie Gibson album on it.
Debbie Gibson? Look, this is David Silver. I've been trying to reach you all week.
That's the end of the episode. That's how it ends. That's their closer.
Yeah. Okay. And worth noting, I'm not sure we have a visual aid of this. I don't think I remember to clip it, but worth noting is that he looks down and the CD box is like that.
Oh, yeah, it's the long box.
The oblong they used to have where they were still like trying to do album art and make that a thing. So,
yeah, I didn't clip it, but yeah, there's still time for you to do that. I have a shot of Debbie Gibson looking very whatever about the whole thing, as she should. The only other thing of note that happens in this plot line is Steve at one point calls Dead Scott over and calls him Sam because he thinks that's his name and Dead Scott answers to it, which is kind of hilarious. Anyway, moving on to the A plot, as it were, or the Ole plot, if you will.
The Bray plot. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brandon gets home and sees his parents and Anna in an anxious conversation with some guy that he's never seen. So he goes to Brenda for the 411 in clip number 3.
Do you have any idea what's going on downstairs?
Yeah. Mom and Dad are throwing a party for Chick Schneider.
Who's Chick Schneider?
C.S. Schneider. C.S. Pacific. He's like the King Kahuna of beach fashion. He makes all those great wipeout pants that Dylan always wears.
Oh, right.
So he's like Dad's new client, and he wants to give us loads of freebies at the party.
Well, that's great, but what does it have to do with Anna?
Well, I think Mom's going to let Anna cater the party.
I don't think so. I think she's being fired.
I have a lot of questions about this, but Sarah, why don't you start? Because we probably have the same ones.
I don't actually really have any question. Well, I'd like to know what a wipeout pant is.
Yeah.
Because if it's the pants that we keep putting in the visual aids, they're not great.
And they're pajama pants.
Yeah. I might use the word wipe in conjunction with these pants, namely that they're being worn by an ass wipe. But anyway, and the fashions that we see are not necessarily all that beachy. There's a lot of
there's a lot of sweaters.
Yeah, and sweater dresses. And I know it's supposed to be winter in their universe, I guess, but A, it's LA, and B, that's not for the beach.
Yeah.
And C, why do you think Anna is being fired? Like,
right. Why? And then they get called downstairs. Like, why would you get called downstairs to be told in front of her that they're firing her? But my main question is, why is this fashion retailer having a party thrown for his launch or whatever by his accountant? Like, don't you have a marketing department that could throw you a proper party where people would come and like have a step and repeat and stuff? I know it's only the 90s, but still.
Anyway. Yeah, I didn't even think of that, actually.
Anyway, I literally have never thought of it until watching this episode this time. Because why would I? I was a dumb kid. So the kids get called downstairs and they hear this quite ridiculous story about what's going on in clip number 4.
I want you to meet Anna's cousin, Richard Rodriguez.
Brandon? Brenda? Finally, I get a chance to meet you. Anna's been telling us how terrific you both are.
Well, we think she's pretty terrific, too. Isn't that right, Mom?
Oh, absolutely. Is everything all right?
Everything's fine.
I'm not sure I know where to begin.
Oh, here, let me try, Mrs. Walsh. Your parents are being very kind. Anna has a niece that attends one of the local high schools here that's been having some trouble.
Yes, Carla's very smart. She's a straight-A student, but with the gangs and drugs, it's terrible.
And it's depriving her of the opportunity to get the kind of education that she deserves.
So your mother and I want to let Carla use our address to enroll in West Beverly.
You'd do that?
Not normally, no. But under the circumstances, I think it can be justified.
Fine with me.
If you don't have a problem with it, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, then it's all settled.
Thank you.
Why do the kids get a vote?
Seriously. And why is he speaking? Why is Brandon speaking to his mother in doesn't speak English, hard of hearing voice?
Mm-hmm.
When did Anna learn perfect English?
Thank you. That was my next question.
I'm sure it was. And since she learned perfect English, why is she making do with, like, just garbage sentences, like, you know, but with the gangs and the drugs, it's terrible. Like,
yeah. So obviously there's some holes in the story, but we will not get them filled for a while. In the meantime, Carla shows up to school, and I gift this because she passes people in the hall and everyone has a total boner for her, even though she's perfectly cute, but like, whatever, she's in like a
including
white sweater.
Including Dylan, and remember that yes. In our next episode.
Of course. Yeah, she's in a white sweater and like the giantest jeans in creation. And everyone's for some reason is like cartoon wolf tongue rolling out of their mouths at her, whatever. So she rolls into the Blaze office to try and figure out where she's supposed to go. And this is where Brandon realizes that she is who she is and has some advice for her in clip number 5.
Listen, just one word of caution. Don't be too put off if the kids here are a little more competitive than you used to.
I'll keep that in mind. Je voyais tous les décors tentes, un esprit ils entouraient. Vêtements, draps, meubles. Je lis prêtais des âmes une figure. Je voyais tout ce qui le touchait, comme il aurait voulu le créer pour lui.
Putting aside the music of My Fair Lady for a second, when I read Pygmalion, I couldn't help but think that Shaw was a total misogynist. With fiber optics, you can't depend on an internal light source unless you can differentiate between the filters.
Carla's a genius!
Wow. leaving aside the completely unwarranted brand ascension for a moment, mm-hmm. Brandon was in Spanish in the premiere.
Yeah, now he's taking French.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The language of love.
Well, I guess. yeah, and she's dominating all her classes, obviously, and we know how much Brandon loves it when girls show him up academically, so it's not surprising that he finds a passive-aggressive way to talk to her about it in clip number 6.
Anna said you were smart, but she didn't mention you were a genius.
Oh, come on, I just like to participate in class discussions.
You mean dominate.
Hey, all I want to do is get into a good college like everybody else.
Well, something tells me you won't have any problem getting a scholarship.
So what are you saying? A Hispanic can't get into a top college without some kind of special assistance?
I didn't say that.
No, not in so many words, but when you bring up a minority scholarship out of the blue, it's pretty obvious what kind of stereotypes you're carrying around.
Well, wait a second. Who said anything about a minority scholarship? I was talking about financial aid, something practically everyone can use, including me. So excuse me if I didn't realize you were independently wealthy.
Brandon.
You know, I've gone out of my way to make this place a little less strange, and you bite my head off. If you want to be alone, why don't you just say so?
It's not that.
Well, then what's going on here, Carla?
It's just very complicated.
Define out of his way to make her feel comfortable, because we have not seen any evidence of that.
Yeah. And by strange, you mean less white. Like, how would you, of all fucking people, do that?
Mm-hmm. But at and the same time, he never says anything about a minority scholarship. So what I love about that exchange is that, like, they're evenly matched in terms of Breitude and flying off the handleness. I mean, she has more right to do it than he does, obviously, because anyone does. But at the same time, it's like, calm it down. That's not what he said.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So he brings her to the Peach Pit to introduce her around and I guess makes her part of the gang by jumping her in on the freebies, as we hear in clip 7.
Hey, Brenda, you think Carla could place an order too?
Sure, if you like Chick Schneider stuff.
I love Chick Schneider. Who's Chick Schneider?
Oh, cute stuff. I'll take one of each.
Oh, that kind of girl.
Nice line reading.
She's a really bad actress, this girl. She's...
Yeah. I mean, in her defense, and I'll get into this more a little later, like, she's given some real, like, nonsensical garbage to play that's, like, it's not even character beats. It's just, like, lines that seemed like they went together, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Brenda brings her a piece of pie, and while she's eating it, she looks over into the kitchen, and these two busboys are sort of giving her the side eye, and she looks all embarrassed, but we'll get back to that as well. Brandon gives her a lift home and gets a free, I guess, anthropology lesson, sociology maybe, along the way. And that's in clip number 8.
Where are they coming from?
Work.
Where?
Anywhere.
The pan flute factory?
Seriously, we'll get to it.
It's so much worse.
Don't worry, Dave.
The trucks come in the morning. That's when it's the worst, seeing 10 of them chasing the trucks down the street. All for hard labor and very cheap pay.
Well, who would just pick people up off the street?
How do you think all those pools and tennis courts in Beverly Hills get built?
Oh, boy. Speechless. I think we had an entry in the Television Without Pity book, which, by the way, you can still purchase, about ethnic music cues. And this is a great example of how racist they are. Like, you could just drive her home. You know, you could put any kind of pop music on or whatever. I mean, but yeah, this pan flute explosion is really
aging Zamfir
offensive and dumb. And of course, Brandon doesn't know how swimming pools get built in LA. He's never thought about it for a single second ever.
Plus, in Minnesota, they just use Eskimos.
Of course. They use Norwegian day laborers. It's very different.
Get out of your sod houses and build me a pool for the 2 weeks of summer.
The other thing that's funny about this is that they're driving through East LA, which now, like, if you were on this road at this point, if you were driving into 2015, it's 100% like raw vegan restaurants. It's none of these storefronts are the same as they were then. Really, the neighborhood's changed a lot. So Brandon drives Carla home to Anna's, which is this enormous, I assume, multifamily house on a hill with a great view of downtown. And they get into it again in clip number 9.
This is where Anna lives?
What did you expect, a deluxe condo?
Are you this defensive with everyone, or do I just bring out the best in you?
You and your friends have so much that you take for granted, you can't appreciate it.
Can't appreciate what?
The language lab, the media center, the safe, clean classrooms that you have.
Oh, well, wait a second. Those are your classrooms now, too. With your brains, you'll be able to do whatever you want with your life.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that, too. But then I go into the Peach Pit, and I see those guys in the kitchen looking at me like, whoa, I'm a traitor for being on the wrong side of the counter.
Who are you talking about, Manuel and Pepe? The busboys, the two guys in the little hats.
Yes.
Because they're not like that. They were looking at you, it's because you're a pretty girl, not because you're Hispanic. And I gotta say, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I think a lot of this is in your head, because I don't see it.
Yes, all Brandon's.
Oh my God, so so much wrong in that speech. Sarah, why don't you begin?
Well, I think Brandon explains it pretty well by mansplaining it at all, or mm-hmm. brandsplaining it, or whatever portmanteau word we're going to use for this yeah. going forward.
Honky
for the next.
Explaining it in this case.
I mean, I just don't see it. Like, well, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
That's
it's
how
not
privilege
for
works.
You. And maybe if you got up on a stepladder, you'd be able to see better. That's right. I'm going to keep short-shaming him. That's it.
Yeah. Also, like, don't appreciate what? Like, that's a great distillation of everything she's trying to tell you. Like, you don't even know what you're not appreciating. That's how much you take it for granted. Anyway, so then she gets out of the car and, well, I'll let Sarah explain it. Clip number 10.
Does the Frito Bandito from Lay's potato chips make an appearance in this?
No.
Sorry I'm late.
Damn it.
You better be careful, girl. That's all I have to say.
Wow.
Sarah.
First of all, and not that I am the most diversely aware person who ever lived, because obviously not. But castanets aren't they traditionally associated with flamenco dance, which is from
Spain. Mm-hmm.
Not all Spanish language cultures are the same. It's not one big fucking bean.
Well, and since we're on the topic, pan flutes are more traditionally like Peruvian, are they not?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but these are like, it's just a Hispanic signifier. I guess they're all supposed to be the same. And then Uncle Richard is lurking in the doorway, and we're supposed to think that either he's super controlling or he's bad touching or
something.
Whatever.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, it's neither of those things. Moving on. The next
Thank
day,
God.
Brandon.
Is he trapping her in his tortilla factory? Forcing her to.
It's a cigar factory, actually, because why not throw Cuba in the mix as well? Anyway, the next morning, Brenda walks in on Brandon smoothing his eyebrows, and she knows what that means. They get into it in clip 11.
So people are starting to talk about you guys.
What are they saying?
Oh, it's just that ever since we moved to L.A., every girl you meet suddenly becomes your next true love.
That's not true. What about Andrea?
That doesn't count. She's your editor. You have a professional relationship.
And I have a platonic relationship with Carla.
For how long?
You mean if it stops being platonic, you might have a problem with it?
What, you think I'm hung up because she's Hispanic?
A lot of people get really weird when it comes to the race thing.
Well, not me. And I'm really offended that you'd even bring that up. As far as I'm concerned, people are people no matter who they are or where they come from. Except maybe St. Paul.
Racist!
Also referring to Andrea as a that.
That doesn't count, yeah.
Yeah,
people are people is also a very privileged way of looking at the world, but, you know,
yes.
At least Brenda's...
United Colors of Breneton.
So I guess that's dispensed with for now. They go downstairs, and then this happens in clip 12.
Hello.
Hey, beautiful.
Thanks.
Big guys.
What?
Jim. No. Hey, beautiful. Hey, big guy.
Ugh.
Hey, gross.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with anything. I just felt that everyone else should suffer as I've suffered.
Agree. Also in this scene, Anna explains to Cindy what tapas is. So that was an education for everyone back in the early 90s. Brandon goes to school. He's at the Blaze office, and Andrea... decides to overstep her bounds in clip 13.
I just need to know, is she living at your house?
What do you think?
I think you better watch out.
You're one to talk.
That is precisely my point. If anybody is found living out of district, it could cause a whole chain reaction.
Tell everyone to be careful.
Okay, great. I mean, that's all I'm asking.
That's all you're asking?
Oh, well, since we're on the subject.
Okay. Okay, for the record. Yes, I'm very attracted to Carla. Yes, I'd like to get to know her better.
I'm very happy for you, but that wasn't my question.
What else do you want to know?
I hear that she's very smart, and I wanted to know if you knew what her GPA was.
I'm very attracted to Carla is like on the level of making love. Like, that's not what teenagers say. Yeah, I think she's cute, maybe, but yeah, no. Gross. So he tries to ask Carla out. She ices him out. He picks her up at her bus stop and she wants to take him on an activity. So they go to the community center and she manages to make him dance, which we all know Brandon does not do. And if you're concerned that it might not have been gift, don't worry. I gift it. It's horrible.
I am a little sad. I feel like the music in this section used to be actually like a pretty sweet break.
Probably.
Like, might not have aged that well, but like the thing they subbed in is like this weird, like hard, rocky thing.
Yeah,
that
it's weirdly like, metal. Mm-hmm.
The point is to, yeah, it is like this weird, like semi-corb thing that, like, I don't, couldn't you find anything similar? Mm-hmm. Couldn't the castanets player work something up for you? And it's, I mean, it's really such a, I feel like step dance was like such a 90s thing, and I'm sure it's still there, and I still have admiration for anyone who can do those moves and sync it up without breaking their ankle, because I'm not that guy, but it's just, and it's interminable as well.
It does go on for a really long time. And then he takes her home and she moonlights for a little bit as a representative of the Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce, which is super romantic to Brandon in clip 14.
Oh, this is great. You really get to see the whole skyline from up here. I don't get downtown too much.
Oh, you have to see Overa Street, the pueblo of La Reina de Los Angeles, founded in 1781.
Okay.
You have to show me that sometime.
I think that can be arranged.
Is that a promise?
Is it a building with two domes?
Oh, God. So there's also a gif of this, but as they start
the
making out...
The maracas of tiny boner.
Yes. Richard is on the doorstep again, totally watching like a creep. The next day, Brenda comes in her very high jeans, which you can see in our visual aids. Jim and Cindy discuss the whole Carla situation. Maybe we should tell them. I don't think we can. Doesn't matter because things have gone too far already, as we hear in clip 15.
We got pan dolce, an apple quesadilla, cafe en casa, the whole enchilada.
Casa?
Oh, my God. Spoken.
Anybody want to tackle?
It's a beautiful accent of a Canadian from Vancouver. Anyway, so then we find out before Brandon does that Carla can't attend the party as his guest because she's working as one of Anna's servers, and Anna and Carla and Cindy have this exchange in clip 16.
Oh, hi, Carla.
Hi.
Anna tells me you've been enjoying West Beverly a little more than you thought you would.
I do, thank you. She never stops reading this one. She's going to be a lawyer, huh?
Really? That's great.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. By any chance, do you have any rings or some ribbon so I could tie a bow around the napkins like this?
Now, why didn't I think of that? Yes, I have some napkin rings. They're in the dining room, the top drawer. She is such a talented girl. This must be a nightmare for her.
It is.
Sarah.
In our document, our show notes, I put in parentheses, dot, 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 to have to pretend she's attracted to stupid Brandon. But then it really is like, there's more condescension. Like, it's a pretty standard napkin fold. It's the same shit they would put, like, in a wine glass in an event space.
Yeah.
This is why she's talented, because she remembered that you should use napkin rings.
Yeah, I don't know. You maybe refer that to she's reading all the time. She's going to be a lawyer, but yeah, it does come off really weird. And then Brandon comes around the corner and sees her there, and he's super excited until he hears why she's there, and they have a fight in clip 17.
After last night, how can you work here?
I'm just helping out. What's the big deal? I have to do this now.
No, you don't.
Easy.
I don't want Carla to work here.
Why not? She's doing a great job.
I just don't feel right about having friends of mine serve me.
Honey, you serve your friends at the Peach Pit all the time.
That's different. That's a place of business. This is in our house.
I just don't see the difference.
Fine. Take me off the guest list.
Brandon!
Anna, if you need an extra pair of hands, I'm available.
God. Okay, my first question about this clip, and Sarah, I'm sure you have some as well, is what is with this music? Why are they playing fancy party music when it's a party for, like, a teen apparel brand?
I don't know.
All right.
Next.
why does Brandon have this fight with Carla weirdly holding her hands like he's Oprah for 10 minutes? Because I gifted and it goes on for a really long time.
That was a really weird blocking. You're totally right. No idea.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Other than, I don't know why Anna would hire him based on his behavior. He seems like he's kind of a loose cannon.
It's just such a petulant, like, take me off the guest list. I'm a man of the people. I'm, you know, joining the working man. Bleh. And also, what is the big deal? Like, she's Anna's niece.
Yeah.
This is what Anna does. She's a domestic engineer liaison who also caters parties. And since everybody knows you two are going out, like, you know?
Yeah.
She's not cleaning the toilet. She's not servicing you. She's serving you.
Yeah.
And even if it is a big deal, opening with that tone to your mom, are you insane? I mean, he's not, because they never call him on his tone, but what the fuck?
Yeah, obnoxious. And there's more obnoxiousness to come when Brandon goes stomping upstairs in clip 18.
Chicks and a stuff that's not even in the catalog yet. They are so rude. I love them. Which did you order, the green or the orange fuchsia?
I don't know, Brandon. I don't care, okay?
What's with you?
I can't believe Mom would hire Carla to work here.
Well, why not? Mom doesn't know how you feel about her.
That's not the point.
Yes, that is the point. You don't tell Mom how you feel, and she doesn't tell us why she and Dad were willing to lie in order to get Carla into school.
They did it so she could get a better education.
Oh, that's what they say.
Brandon, what's going on? Your mother says you're getting bent out of shape over nothing.
It's not nothing, Dad.
This is where I say adios.
Brenda.
Wiseman.
You don't understand.
No, you don't understand. CS Pacific is the first Gold Star client I've picked up since we moved to California. For me to be working with Chick Schneider is a major coup. Now, what I need from you is for you to be a gracious and happy host who makes sure that all of our guests are having a good time. Do you think you can do that for me?
Well, yes and no. He does.
Do you think he can do that for you, Jim?
Yeah.
Are
when he's
you new?
When he's in the state, just let him stay upstairs. It's better for everyone. But that is not what occurs. The next shot is Brandon opening the door to guests, by the way, wearing a sweater, which is in the visual aids, that I 100% had in Dusty Rose. My grandmother knitted it for me, so check that shit out. Cindy also wears a horrible dress, and Chick is disgusting. Oh, wait, I've skipped over. So Brenda's also really excited about getting courted by Chick in clip 19.
Mom, do you know where the camera is? Chick wants to take some pictures of us.
Yeah, he says he wants to use us in his next catalog.
Well, I don't blame him. You girls look, what's the hip word? Deaf, dope, rad.
Oh, my God.
Foxy.
Never foxy, Jim. Never foxy.
Well, at least it was like a word I might use. I mean, he had me at rad.
Yeah.
He's turning it around. And he lost me.
Yeah, so we soon find out why Chick might have made this offer to Brenda and Kelly and Donna, because he was the Dov Charney of his age, apparently, as we hear in clip 20.
Can I get you anything else?
Oh, thanks, sweetheart, but I think I'll slurp another one of these. Preferably with you, in the dark.
It's a good thing Walsh didn't hear that.
Yeah. He's really flipped for her in a major way, huh?
No reason to keep that on except it's so
yes
dopey.
Archie, he has what the hell.
Yeah, so it is a good thing that Brandon doesn't hear that, but he has business of his own to conduct as he tricks Carla upstairs with talk of chairs in his parents' bedroom, and this occurs in clip 21.
Where are the chairs? This is in your parents' room.
Nope, this is my room.
Brandon, what are you doing?
Nothing, I'm just tired of watching you be conscientious.
What do you want, Brandon?
What do you think?
Are you happy now?
What's the matter with you?
I don't like being told how I should feel or what I should think.
Why don't you tell that to Richard? He's obviously got something on you.
Brennan, I don't need you to protect me.
I don't want to protect you. I just want it to be like it was last night.
That was last night, Brandon. Tonight, I'm working at a fancy party in Beverly Hills. And I would appreciate it if you would let me go downstairs and do my work.
So, of course, Brandon is so myopic that he doesn't consider this is kind of a form of sexual harassment. Like, she is working at his house, and this is really inappropriate of him to do when she could get in trouble.
Yeah, and it's not the first time in the episode either. Like, she says no to going out with him on three separate suggested dates, and then he shows up at the bus station with that obnoxious gum-chewing.
Yes.
Did someone order a Ford Taurus routine, which is, and then she's like, oh, fine. Like, he's being stalky.
Yeah.
It's not the first time, won't be the last. Anyway, gross.
So Carla comes downstairs. Anna sees her come down with Brandon trailing after her. Scolds her in English, by the way, 100%. Both of them speak English.
Yep.
And then Brandon is moping in this photo that they're taking with all of the people in their CS specific clothes. And this occurs, clip 22.
You've got beautiful kids, Jim. One more beautiful than the next.
They especially look good wearing your spring line.
Oh, thanks. We expect big things this season. We just opened a new factory in Mexicali. We should have done this 10 years ago.
Oh?
Yeah, well, there is a language problem, but those people work hard and they work cheap.
How much do you pay them?
Why? You need a job?
No, thanks. I already have a job that pays a fair wage.
Ugh.
I just don't like to hear about people being exploited.
Brandon.
I'm sorry, Dad. It just seems to me that the people who make his swimsuits ought to get something out of it so their relatives don't have to chase after the work trucks in East L.A.
Brandon, you apologize right now.
Hey, there's no need for that. Who knows? He's probably right. Let's eat.
Sarah, do you want to start off on this one?
He walks into the situation loaded for bear. Somehow the fact that Chick Schneider is wearing a sweater that, what's the line from State in Maine? It looks like Edith Head threw up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah.
Except it's like Bill Cosby threw up, but whatever. He who shall not be named anymore. Mm-hmm. But like all of a sudden you're speechifying at your father's client about something you learned
2 days ago. Yeah.
Unacceptable. And while wearing a fugly sweater of your own, might I add, but
hey,
that's
the sweater I had, Sarah.
I know.
In pink. Anyway, come on. You're not wrong.
I just, it's unacceptable. And once again, his parents fail to knock him out with an uppercut. Like, I just don't understand. Someone commented about this on Twitter, like my ongoing disgust with how they talk to their parents. And it's like, if I had even taken that tone with like a piece of furniture in a room next to my mother, it would have been carved up.
Yeah. Like, I don't see why Jim tries to make him apologize in front of Chick. Like, no, take him by the arm, lead him out of the room and give him a timeout because he's acting like a child. Like, it's completely absurd what he thinks he can get away with and ends up getting away with, actually. But
yeah.
Also, he doesn't know anything about this company's business practices. Obviously, he's not done any kind of research into it. I mean, granted, this was pre-internet, but still, just because people work cheaper in Mexico doesn't mean necessarily that he is exploiting his workers. He probably is because it's the garment industry, but Brandon doesn't know that. Anyway, moving on. Carla stomps out of the party. Brandon tries to stop her. Quip 23, please.
Por favor, déjala tranquila, Brandon. Please, let her go.
Why were you speaking Spanish to Brandon and not to Carla? That's the only reason I clipped that clip. Going on. So Brandon, after the party, goes upstairs to apologize to Jim in clip 24.
Can I talk to you?
Bad start.
I mean, there's a chance we can be on speaking terms again.
Oh, come on, Dad. I apologize to you. I apologize to Chick. I know I was out of line. What more can I do?
die.
We're just lucky the man has a great sense of humor.
Wasn't funny.
I don't get it. Your behavior tonight was so unlike you.
Well,
that's it.
I'm confused, Dad. And I guess it really burns me up to think there are things going on around here that are purposely being kept from me. You know, Brendan's been saying all along you weren't the kind of people who'd lie to help someone's niece get into a better school, even someone as sweet as Anna. So what's the story, Dad? You been keeping something from us?
We like Carla very much.
No, not as much as I do. Dad, I've never felt this way about anybody before. You gotta tell me what's going on.
You met her 3 days ago.
We can't tell you, Brandon. We made promises to these people. We have to keep our word.
I'm sorry, honey. It just never dawned on us that you and Carla might get together.
Yeah, well, we did. At least we were trying to until tonight.
If we'd known it was going to cause you this much grief, we would have said no.
Why?
No question about it.
Can you at least tell me who Richard is?
I think you better talk to Carla.
Oh, God, Brandon. I also am mad that the apology to Chick happened off screen, because that's one I would like to have seen him talk his way out of. But of course,
yeah,
there is no way he could have, which is why we don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, you're not owed an explanation. I don't know why they told them anything to start with.
Yeah.
And I also don't love that, given what we find out is going on, Jim throws Carla under the bus.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have this conversation. Go talk to Carla. Like, thanks, Jim.
Right. Fortunately for Jim, given that, Brandon goes to Anna's to try and apologize to Carla and figure out what's going on, and finds out that everything is okay, whatever was going on with Carla, and she's going back to her family, but not before a cookout in a park, which is where Brandon finds her, and she disgorges all of this. Clip 25.
Have you ever heard of Victor Montes?
Is he famous?
To some people. He heads the Department of Hispanic Culture at the Kenmont Colleges in Pomona. He's also my father.
So why do you live with Anna?
I don't. I just moved to East LA last week.
Why?
Anna was my babysitter. I live with my parents and my sisters at the university. But I also do volunteer work at the projects near Dogtown, which is where I saw two lowlifes named Ruben Benicas and Sleepy Salomon drive by a house 3 times before they pulled out their guns and opened fire.
You saw that?
And I saw the bullets ricochet into the brain of a 4-year-old boy on his way to a birthday party.
Oh, my God.
And when Ruben let it be known that whoever came forward to testify against him would not live a long and prosperous life, Richard thought I should disappear until the case came to court, maybe for a year. And that's when Anna mentioned that your folks might be able to help me out.
So Richard's a cop.
Prosecuting attorney. I was a star witness.
Okay, again, not a good actress, but also this is such a written speech. Like, there's nothing conversational about it. When Victor let it be known, people don't talk like that.
Yeah, ricocheted. Like, the whole thing is garbage. The timeline is garbage. I don't think I understand how it's disappearing. I mean, first of all, I don't know where Pomona is. Don't email me.
Near Sacramento.
Okay.
I believe.
I don't know where I know where it is roughly. How far away is it?
I don't know. North. How far is Sacramento? Like a few hours drive?
From LA?
From LA?
Yeah, it's like 5, something like that.
Okay.
It's like halfway to San Francisco. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so I don't understand how it's disappearing. Why would you hide her in the same town with the same name?
Well, they're not in the same town. This all happened in Dogtown, like in where she's from.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, she wouldn't be volunteering in LA. It would be too far. But still, she's not under any kind of assumed name. So that part is true. But regardless, doesn't matter, because Sleepy confessed. And so they can go on to have this kind of fight, weirdly, in clip 26.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying that I'm not expecting anything from you.
What if I want you to expect something?
What? That you'll pledge your undying devotion to me and that I should do the same?
I'm not a poor girl from the barrio who's looking for a white knight.
Is that how you saw me?
Being with you was like a dream, like a fairy tale. But now it's over, and I have to go home now.
Why?
Oh, Brandon, I said it was complicated.
I disagree. I don't think it is that complicated. When it comes down to it, I don't think you and I are that different.
I agree. And that's what scares me the most. With you, it would be so easy for me to forget who I am and where I come from. I don't want that to happen.
I really didn't know you at all, did I?
Oh, you knew me better than you think.
What?
Yeah, well, maybe sometime when you come into town, you could meet me on Alvaro Street.
I'd like that. I really would.
Gracias.
Nope, you'll never see each other again. Sarah.
All of those lines in that order, it doesn't make any sense.
No sense.
Like, at the end of the day, we're not that different. Like, well, okay, but it's like the writers didn't know from word to word that she was either like not really a relative of Anna's and not from there, or like she's a actually fairly privileged child of college academe. Like, I think they actually probably do have fairly similar lives.
Yeah.
Her father's a tenured professor, big shot, head of some department. Like, you know, I just don't get it.
Well, I don't know why it has to be about, you know, their different ethnic backgrounds, because...
Yeah, like, she's a minor. She has to go live with her parents.
Right. She lives 5 hours away. That's why you can't date. It would be ridiculous.
There's no internet. Yeah. Next.
Right. You can't text each other. It's the past. Yeah. I don't know. So then she's gone forever, and Brandon goes back to school to kick Andrea in the heart for this week in the final clip, 27.
You know that piece you did on Coach Cass?
Yeah, I know it. I wrote it.
Didn't change a comma. I think it's your best piece yet.
Thanks, Andrea.
Don't thank me. You wrote it.
I wish it could be like this with everyone.
Like what?
You know, how we are with each other. Easy, comfortable, real.
Stilted.
Yeah, it's nice.
Me.
I'm just glad we're not attracted to each other romantically. So we can always be friends. Good friends. Just friends. It's great.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, kiss it here.
Only friends.
Just
amigos
in case
solamente.
I wasn't clear, no P in your V.
And then we kissed her like 3 episodes ago, but okay.
Yeah.
This, I believe, is not the last party at which Brandon has a hissorama in the direction of his father and his father's client about.
Did you say pissorama?
Hissorama. Oh. Hiss with an H.
Oh, okay.
Either way,
well, like
whatever makes you happy, Dave.
They really both work.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they don't, true. But yeah.
I just am really, I can't wait for the issues to be over so that this particular side of Brandon's unbearability can be turned away from us for a while.
Yeah. It's been a lot in a row. And the other thing is when Carla kept hinting around about like the secret that whatever is making her life so complicated, I was kind of surprised he wasn't like, oh God, do you have a baby too? That was just 2 episodes ago.
Did you run away from home instead of taking a trip?
Yeah. So that's that for East Side Story, basically. Just kind of peters out with Andrea getting reminded one last time. Brandon doesn't like her, capital T, capital W, that way. Like, she knows. Anywho.
Oh, God.
Let's wind it up. Episode MVP. Sarah, who is your pick?
Mr. MC Hammer for not picking up the phone. Smart move. Too bad your business manager was a complete nightmare. Good luck to you, sir. And you?
Mine is Richard, the only person in this episode who manages to do his job at all well, if creepily. He actually gets to the end of the case and doesn't get his star witness murdered. Least valuable player.
Mendoza!
Brandon, he's such a shithead. He's really so obnoxious the whole way through.
Damn you, Salazar. Yeah, gotta go Brandon.
With a dishonorable mention to Chick Schneider for A, terrible designs, and B, being a creep about a 16-year-old server at a party.
Gross.
Totally. All right. Oh.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
This might be tough, finding five ways that Dylan is mad, bad, and dangerous to know because he's barely in this episode, but I will start. If he lends you his wipeout pants, he might get you curb stomped because they are terrible.
That is true. He does tend to eye down women as he's walking past them, which if you're walking with him, could get both your asses kicked.
He's a little bit too involved in Brandon's love life, which might get him punched by Brandon at some point, I guess.
He appears to think that he's in a 50s Archie comic when he speaks about these things, which, could be, well, it's not dangerous, I guess, but it's bad.
His behavior might get him punched by Brenda, and if you're in the vicinity, you might get backhanded by mistake.
True. Also, retinal scarring. Yeah. But I guess that's implied with the wipeout pants.
Indeed.
So trendoid.
So trendoid these baggies are. And that does it for the episode, I believe.
That's another episode of Again With This. Next time, David Silver will get a Palm Springs upside the head from his grandparents and fickle circumstances.
Is that it?
Next time.
Okay.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to...